one of Clintock's favorite pastimes.
Garrett? Sheriff? Curtis?
He added when the deputy got out the passenger door.
What can I do for you? Well, Garrett, it's like this. You have the right to remain silent. What the hell bullshit is this?
Tate just continued reading off the Miranda warning.
We all know you understand your rights, but do you want to confirm that? Fuck you!
When Clintock turned away, yanked open the cabin door, Curtis moved in.
Come on now, Garrett. Don't go making it harder than it is.
He made it harder by slamming a fist into Curtis's jaw. Cursing, Tate surged forward to help Curtis muscle Clintock to the ground.
You're under goddamn arrest, Tate snapped. Get those cuffs on him, Curtis. God damn it! Resisting arrest? Striking a police officer? I am a police officer. Not anymore, you're not. You're under arrest for discharging a firearm on private property and for attempted murder. You're out of your fucking mind! I got witnesses, for Christ's sake.
Together they dragged Clintock to his feet.
I'm adding lying to a police officer to the list. When I came by here yesterday, you said you hadn't had that ATV out in a week. And it was clean as a whistle. Just washed clean. I've got witnesses, damn it to hell and back, Garrett, who saw you riding it on the resort, saw you heading it up on the road above Black Angus. Skinner's a goddamn liar. Six people saw you. Six. And we got the bullet Bickers dug out of that horse.
That was a lie, but Tate was done with playing fair.
When we test your long guns, get ballistics done, what do you think we're going to find?
He saw it. The panic. The flush of fury. The quick cutaway of the eyes.
I want a lawyer. I want a lawyer now. I've got nothing to say. You'll get a lawyer. Get him in the back, Curtis. I can't even look at him. One of my men. One of my own. Trying to backshoot a man like that.
The accusation had Clintock kicking out, elbow jabbing.
Skinner killed those two women and you do nothing! He kills them and you suspend me for dogging him for it! He deserved having his horse shot out from under him. He deserved worse!
Tate's face looked like a mask of fury carved in stone before he shoved Clintock back against the truck.
You were aiming for the horse? Is that what you're claiming now? You did nothing! I'm doing something now.
It tore up his gut, questioning one of his deputies, former, dealing with the pipsqueak of a lawyer. It didn't help the nodding and twisting that Clintock proved pitifully simple to trip up. Maybe it soothed some to stand in the Longbow's kitchen and watch out the window as Alice carefully led the recovering horse around the paddock, with Callan limping by her side. Her progress is really remarkable, Celia Minna watched with him.
Is she going to remember more about the captivity?
I wish I could tell you. I can tell you she's stronger, mind and body. I can tell you she seems to have forged a bond with him, with Callan Skinner. It's the horse, in part, but it's also him. He left home, came back. So did she. Someone hurt him, someone hurt her. Being here, surrounded by family, has helped give her a sense of safety, helped her throw off a lot of the indoctrination.
But I still need to let her tell me as it comes to her.
She has a lot of trust in you. Pushing too hard for answers could damage that. I know, it's frustrating.
I'm wondering if he's dead, and that's how she got away.
If you're wondering if she caused his death, my opinion is she wouldn't have been capable. He dominated, she submitted. She speaks of him as alive. Her thought pattern often simplifies everything, as a child's would. It's coping. There's good and bad, mean and kind, soft and hard. And other times, she's remarkably astute. Celia gestured toward the window. Cutting her hair? The courage of that? The symbolism of it? It was an act of self. Recognition of self. She may slip back again, and everyone should prepare for that, but she's making good progress.
I'm going to go out, talk to her, while she's with Cal and the horse. I'll keep it light and friendly.
Callan figured she'd have walked sundown to Billings and back and been happy about it. His own leg ached like a bitch, and he could only blame himself for skipping the afternoon Motrin. But he couldn't bring himself to ask her to stop.
Can I bray his mane?
Callan chanced to look back at sundown, calculated the humiliation.
I used to braid Venus's mane and bring her carrots. I can bring him a carrot!
Suddenly she stopped, looking around. Where's Venus?
I don't know. Is that your horse?
She's mine. Grandpa let me pick her out. Pretty Venus. She's a buckskin, too, with a blonde mane and tail, and...
That was a long time ago.
I forget. It was a long time ago. She must have died like Grandpa when I was in the cellar or in the house. She must have died when I wasn't here.
I had a horse before sundown. I called him Charger. It was real hard for me when he died.
But sundown's getting better. He won't die.
He's getting better.
He's getting better,
she repeated and began to walk.
When he's stronger, I can sit on him?
As soon as the doctor says.
I talked to my doctor today, too. Both my doctors, the man and the woman. They said I was getting better, too. There's Tate. Bobby Tate. I know him. He's not mean.
I know him, too.
Alice Bodine, Tate said with a cheerful smile. I sure like your hair.
Bodine did it. That's her first name. That's my last name. This is Sundown. Somebody hurt him, and Cal. But they're feeling better.
So I see.
You're the sheriff now. Bobby Tate's the sheriff. You have to find people who hurt people.
Tate nodded. Took a chance.
You're right. I did find the person who hurt Sundown and Cal. I put him in jail.
Her eyes widened.
Does he have to stay there? Locked up? It's hard to be locked up. You can't get out. Nobody comes to let you out or hears when you scream.
She pressed her face into Sundown's neck.
I didn't hurt anybody.
No, you didn't, honey. But this man did. So the law has to decide what to do about it.
You're the law. Bobby Tate's the law. Did you find Sir? Did you put him in jail?
I sure want to. I'm trying to.
She angled her head around again.
We used to kiss, didn't we?
We did.
You don't kiss me now.
Well, I got married.
Tate tapped his wedding ring.
But before we kissed. After, too. We were friends. We are friends, Alice.
Sir didn't kiss me.
I didn't want him to, but he would have no matter that, but he didn't.
We did other things. You did other things with me.
Tate cleared his throat as Callan looked discreetly away.
Well, yeah, we did.
But you weren't mean. You weren't hurting. We laughed and laughed, and you walked on your hands.
Sir doesn't laugh.
He hurts.
His hands are hard and mean, and he rapes me. Dr. Minow says it's rape, not marital rights. He rapes me, so it hurts, always. The words tumbled out, the pitch rising. It's rape, Dr. Minow says, even when I don't fight. If I fight, he hits me, and it's worse. Even when I just laid down and let him, she says it's raping. Is that the law? Is it? You're the law? Is it the law?
It is. It's the law.
If you find him, you'll lock him up. I want that. She surprised Callan by reaching out, gripping his hand. I want him locked up, where he can't get out. Where nobody comes when he screams. I want that.
I'm going to keep looking so that happens. I promise you, Alice. You said he had a beard all over and dark eyes.
Dark eyes. I close mine when he does it.
Maybe you could tell me more about how he looks and we could draw him.
I can't draw. Renee can't either. Even I can draw better, but I can't draw faces.
I know somebody who can draw faces. If you want to try to tell me more of how he looks, how you remember.
I don't know. Her hand tightened, a small vice on Callan's. I don't want to see his face. I'm going to make Cal a scarf. I'm going to ride Sundown when he's better.
That's okay.
Swallowing frustration, Tate kept his tone easy.
It's too pretty a day to worry about things. Maybe I'll come see you tomorrow, Alice. Just to visit.
She nodded at Tate, then looked at Cal.
What would you do? You went away, you came back. Somebody hurt you in Sundown. Would you see his face so they could draw it?
I think sometimes if you look at something straight on, look it right in the eye, it doesn't seem as scary as it does when you close your eyes. And I think you're about the bravest person I know. So if you need more time with your eyes closed, you should take it.
Bodine said I was brave. The doctor said I was brave. You said I'm brave. But I don't feel brave. I don't want to go back to the house. I don't want him to find me. I want to stay here. Can you come tomorrow? She said to Tate. Ask me again?
I sure can. It's good to see you, Alice. And you, Cal.
Callan hesitated as Tate started off.
Miss Alice, could you watch Sundown for a minute? I need to ask the sheriff something.
We'll be right here.
Callan caught up with Tate at the gate.
Did he admit it?
Tate leaned back against the gate.
He's changed his story half a dozen times. That hot head of his isn't helping him. Neither is lying to me about being on the property on that ATV, and he knows he's caught there. He's slipped up plenty, and trying to stick to shooting at a snake, not realizing the shot went wild and hit you in the horse. That won't hold. But in one of his slips, I think I got the truth. He wasn't shooting at you. Now that's bullshit. He was shooting at your horse.
Callan rocked back on his heels, waiting for his temper to peak and ebb.
He aimed at Sundown?
I'm going to say that's my opinion. I'm going to say it comes down to a goddamn dog and a goddamn poker game when you were kids. His father lost a dog to yours, and Garrett shot the dog out of spite. He was trying to kill your horse for the same reason. Pure spite.
Callan looked back to where Alice walked Sundown and chattered away to him, and could see it, see that wound across the belly, and how a few inches higher would have done the job.
You'll take him down for it?
That's going to be up to the prosecutor, the judge, and the jury, but I'll tell you, I'm going back at him, and I'll get him to say what he did. That I will do.
All right.
What you said to Alice, it's going to help me do my job for her, too.
I'll do my job, Cal.
Cal nodded. But as he walked back to his horse, he thought, sometimes, justice didn't have a damn thing to do with jobs. Chapter 26. By Sunday evening, with the crazy weekend behind her, Jessica drove to the ranch. Though just sleeping for a solid 12 hours held a lot of appeal, the invitation to Sunday dinner swayed her. She enjoyed seeing Chase in his natural habitat, and had yet to connect with Callan since he and Sundown had been hurt. She accepted her western transition as complete when she realized she wanted to see the horse as much as the people. The transition didn't, and likely never would, include footwear. When she saw Sundown in the paddock, and to her delight, Chase spinning a rope, Lariat, she corrected. She left the huckleberry crumble, which she'd made, in the car, and walked over to watch. Rory sat on the fence beside a woman with red hair pulled into a short tail. The woman clapped enthusiastically when Chase jumped in and out of the spinning rope. When Chase gave Jessica a tip of the hat with his free hand, the woman glanced back. Though she'd heard about it, seeing Alice's transformation left her stunned.
"This is someone else," Alice murmured, and reached for Rory's hand.
"You might not remember me, Alice. We only met for a minute a few weeks ago. I'm Jessica Bazoff. I work for Bodine."
"Bodine's Reenie's girl. This is Rory. Not my Rory, he's Reenie's Rory. And Chase is Reenie's. He's putting on a show for me because I didn't get to see it."
"He's really good, isn't he?"
"Uncle Wayne did rope tricks. Chase said Uncle Wayne taught him. Sundown does tricks, too. Cal taught him. Cal's not just Reenie's. He's mine, too."
"I wanted to see Sundown and Cal."
"Grammy fussed at Cal and said he had to go in and put his leg up a while. In a couple days, I can sit on Sundown. He's much better, and the man who hurt him's locked up."
Alice looked at Rory for confirmation. "He's locked up?"
"That's right. We don't have to worry about him anymore."
"Bobby Tate does his job."
Alice applauded again as Chase took a bow.
"It was a good show," she told him. "Jessica's here. I remember now. She's your girlfriend."
Chase lowered his head, concentrated on coiling the rope.
"It's looking that way."
"He's shy," Alice told Jessica. "I never used to be shy, but I feel that way a lot now." "We'll go help with dinner," Alice patted Rory's arm, "so Chase can be with his girlfriend."
Barely blocking a snicker, Rory hopped down, lifted Alice off the fence.
"I like your shoes," Alice said.
Jessica barely managed a thanks before Alice walked away with Rory. "I can't believe that's the same woman who came home from the hospital."
"It's spine."
Chase looped his rope around a fence post.
"That's Bodine's spine. Dad told me she's going to work with an artist tomorrow. Agreed to it, to try to get a picture of the man who took her."
He reached over the fence for her hand, tugged her so she climbed on the bottom rail.
"Fancy shoes. Not for riding."
"I dressed for Sunday dinner." Then she laughed when Sundown moved up behind him, nudged him forward. "He's definitely himself again."
"Go on now. I don't need any help."
To prove it, Chase cupped the back of Jessica's neck with one hand, lowered his mouth to hers. Then he just stood there a moment, eyes on hers, fingers lightly rubbing her skin.
Riding's out.
He vaulted over the fence.
But we can take a walk.
I haven't even gone in to say hello to your mother.
Couple of minutes.
With her hand in his, the sun warm on her face, she walked with him. She heard a cow lowing off in a field, and a chittering she knew came from some busy squirrel, and through an open kitchen window came laughter. You've put pansies in. She paused a moment, looking at the pots on the back porch steps. My grandmother always put pansies in early, in the window box outside the kitchen window. She said they made her smile while she did dishes. Made her happy spring was coming around again.
I didn't think you'd stay through the winter.
Genuinely surprised, she stared up at him. Why?
I figure now it was my problem more than yours.
He drew her around the front side of the house and to the bench between the ginkgo trees.
I thought, just look at her. She'll run back to New York after her first Montana blizzard. But you didn't.
You really saw me as that? What was the word he'd used for Alice? Spine. That spineless?
No. That was mostly me, and it wasn't my spine I was worried about. Can we sit a minute? I feel like I've got to finish this out.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Jessica, I'd say I saw you as this exotic bird, so pretty it hurt my eyes, and just out of my reach, apt to fly off.
Exotic bird my butt. I've worked all my life and worked hard.
More about me than you,
he reminded her.
The first time I saw you, you were wearing a red suit, and your hair was coiled up, and you smelled like something mysterious blooming in a hothouse. You shook my hand and said, Jessica Bazoff, it's nice to meet you. I could barely get my tongue to work. And all I could think was, I hope like hell Beau doesn't hire this one.
Well, that's nice to know. He just put a hand heavy on her shoulder when she started to get up.
I told her it was a mistake when she did. And I've come around to seeing that was a lot more about me than you.
In a defensive gesture, she folded her arms under her breasts. If you'd taken such an instant dislike to me, I'm surprised you didn't put a lot more pressure on Bodine.
It wasn't dislike. And pressuring Bodine when her mind's made up's a waste of time. Taking your time's not wasting it.
And he took his time now.
I thought it was a mistake. Believed it was, because I didn't see you staying. So pretty, so polished. I didn't see how you'd fit in. And since I was damn near struck deaf, dumb, and blind the first time I saw you in that red suit, it didn't bode well for me. I figured to keep my distance until Beau came home and said how I was right and you were leaving.
Apparently you've been disappointed there.
No, just wrong. I kept my distance as best I could because every time I saw you, I wanted to touch you. And I knew if I touched you, I'd want more. I knew when you left, even keeping my distance, I'd think of you. I wasn't going to cross that line. Then, well, I did.
She audibly sniffed, but softened. I yanked you across that line.
I was working my way across. It would have taken me longer, but I was working my way across. Then, I knew. If you left, I wouldn't just think of you. I'd never get over you. Any woman who came along after, I would put up against you, and she'd never measure up. She wouldn't have your face, or be as smart as you, have your grit under all that polish. There'd be nobody else.
He tugged her hand into his, studied it.
And I want a woman
and a family. A life we can grow into. I don't mind waiting for it. But without you, I'd wait forever.
I watched Tombstone. I can ride a horse. I have a Stetson.
His lips curved as he pressed them to her fist.
I love you. I think I loved you before any of those things were true, if love can hit that fast. I love knowing they're true now. I feel settled, knowing you're happy here.
I am happy here. There's nothing for me back in New York. I've built my life here. Friends, work, a life. I lost my family, Chase, when I lost my grandparents. And I've made a family here when I never thought to have one again. I've never had a friend like Bodine, and now Chelsea, and everyone.
I'm asking if you'd think about building onto that with me. If you could come to love me enough for that. For making a life and a family with me.
Marriage. Good God, he was talking about marriage. The fast leap from a slow-moving man left her dumbfounded. Sitting very still, barely breathing, she thought of her parents on one side, selfish, careless, cold, abandoning her without a second thought. Then her grandparents, kind, loving, giving, enfolding her into their lives without a second thought. Then she thought of him. I don't know how I could love somebody so stupid he can't see I already love him more than enough already. But apparently I do. Now he held her hand to his cheek. Just held it there, before turning his head, pressing his lips into her palm.
Is that a fancy way of saying yes?
It wasn't fancy.
It was a lot of words. How about I put it another way? Will you marry me sometime?
Sometime is pretty open-ended.
You say yes, you say when.
Give me a second. She looked out, over the land, to the mountains, to the sky that spread blue over everything. She felt him waiting, so steady and strong in his silence. She trusted him to wait until her head caught up with her heart. I say yes. I say October, after my first summer, before my next winter. Again, she laid a hand on his cheek. And saying yes, Chase? Just saying yes fills up little spaces in me I didn't know needed to be filled. You did that. You helped fill those little empty spaces. He kissed her, sweet as a promise, held her close.
You still got that red suit?
I'm not getting married in that red suit.
I was thinking more of the honeymoon.
She laughed. Steady and strong, she thought again, and often surprising. I've still got it. While at the Bodine Ranch, Sunday dinner turned into a celebration, the man known as Sir bumped his truck along the narrow road where winter had carved pits and shallow ditches. Every jolt rammed through his body. He stopped, climbed out to unlock the gate posted with no trespassing signs. The old metal shrieked as he shoved it open. He climbed back into the truck, drove through across the old cattle gate, got out again. Dragged the gate closed, locked it, chained it.
A coughing fit seized him until he had to brace himself on the gate. He coughed up and spat out phlegm, caught his breath, then climbed back into the truck to jolt and bump his way back to the cabin. Since he had to stop and rest often, it took him an hour to unload the supplies. He downed medicine first, the cough suppressant, the headache pills. He always seemed to have a headache these days. The decongestant, mixing them together in a kind of medicinal cocktail, downing them with the whiskey-laced coffee he considered another element of his cure. He'd picked up a meal, ate the two cheeseburgers slowly and without real appetite. He needed meat, good red meat, and forced it down, bite by bite. Breathing, wheezing, and whistling, he fell asleep in the chair in front of the fire as the sweat slicking his skin went cold. He woke in the dark. Cursing, he lit the oil lamps, got the fire going again. He spent too much time sleeping, and needed to spend more planning. He'd driven all the way to Missoula and back, proving to himself he was recovering from the damn plague Esther had cursed him with. He'd gotten medicine and supplies, even managed some scouting around. He'd seen plenty of women. Women showing their bare legs, women with their breasts rising up under low tops, their faces painted. He'd thought one or two of them might suit him, might make a good wife once he broke them. But he lacked the strength, as yet, to take one. So he'd take the medicine, eat red meat, and get his strength back. When he had, he'd hunt the back roads, haunt the dark places outside the dens of sin, the bars and cheap motels. The right one would come along. God would provide. Not another like Esther, or the one he'd christened Miriam, who'd managed to hang herself with her bedsheet weeks after delivering a girl child, or Judith, or Beryl. He'd buried them all but Esther. Given them Christian burials, though they'd been sinners, been disappointments. He had to find another quickly. A strong, young, fertile woman, one who could be trained to obey and attend him, as his illness had shown him he was no longer young. He needed sons to carry on his legacy, to honor him as he aged, and he needed the woman to provide them. The tourists would come soon, those parasites. They'd come, as would those needed to make their meals, make their beds. As he drifted to sleep again, he thought the coming weeks would offer opportunities. Callan would rather have ridden horseback to work, and he sure as hell would rather have ridden sundown. Since neither made a spot on the plate, he rode shotgun in Bodine's truck.
I could have come in with Rory.
She spared him a glance. Something wrong with my driving, Skinner?
I'd rather be behind the wheel.
Take what you get, but she glanced again. What's bothering you? The leg?
Christ, it got grazed. I didn't get gut shot.
She jerked her shoulder, maintained silence until she pulled up at the BAC. Out, and take your crappy mood with you. He sat another moment.
I've spent a lot of time with Alice the last few days.
It's noted and appreciated.
Careful you don't smack your head on a tree branch, riding that high horse with your nose pointed at the sky. I liked the time with her. It took my mind off other things. And I feel like she got to trust me. I'm not going to be around today when she tries working with Tate and the artist.
It's good of you to worry about her. I mean that. Nana and Grammy will be there, Dr. Minow too, and Dr. Grove said he's coming out to have a look at her. She watched the sun break above the horizon in a thin line of bright, beaming gold. You've helped take her mind off things, too. It may sound strange to say you picked a good time to get shot, but it worked out that way.
That's one way to look at it.
He shifted to her while the eastern sky exploded.
How about that fancy dinner Saturday night?
Not only a fancy dinner, but a Saturday night fancy dinner. Wide-eyed, she jiggled her shoulders back and forth. I might have to buy a new dress.
If you've got more than one, I haven't seen it anyway.
She laughed, kissed him. Go on, get out, Skinner. You're on my clock.
When he had, she leaned out the window. If I get hung up, I'll have Rory come back and pick you up after work.
I'll wait for you.
He walked back to the window.
Come home with me tonight. I'll pick up something from the kitchen here for both of us. Come home with me.
All right. But I'll get the food. I'm closer to the kitchen.
Not fancy, he called out as she backed up. That's for Saturday.
It occurred to Bodine as she turned, flicked a glance back at him in her rear view. They weren't just sleeping together. They were dating. She did work longer than she'd hoped. Seasonals were dribbling back, others needed to be hired. New hires meant interviews, vetting, training, orientation. It's all a good thing, Bodine told Jessica as she packed her briefcase. Bookings are up for spring right through to the first of the year, and they were solid last year. With us adding more activities and packages, it's only going to head up from there. You need a full-time assistant. I know how great Sal is, but you could use her full-time, or if you'd rather she run the front desk, you need somebody else. Having Chelsea's made a huge difference for events. You need the same. Bodine frowned over it, over the simple truth of it. I always get an itch in the middle of my back when I think of a formal assistant. Jessica pointed with a perfectly polished pink fingernail. That's your control button talking. I've heard that before. Maybe I'll talk to Sal. Maybe. Meanwhile, I've got an order to pick up from the kitchen. I have a date. Me too. Apparently, it's past time I saw Silverado. In exchange, Chase is going to try my lemon pasta with wilted arugula. It struck Bodine again, and she stopped in her tracks. My God, he's in love like Romeo. You're getting married.
Yeah.
Jessica patted a hand on her chest. You'll be my maid of honor, won't you? I can't believe it's taken you a damn day to ask. After dancing forward, Bodine gave Jessica a squeeze. I was my cousin Betsy's maid of honor, so I have some experience. And I trust you won't make me wear a raspberry pink organza with poofy shoulders. Blood oath on that one. But as Jessica's smile struck Bodine as a little frantic, Bodine angled her head. Don't tell me you're having second thoughts. I've already had 24 thoughts. They all circle back to I really love him. It's the marriage idea that scares me.
He's going to eat wilted lettuce, and you're going to watch a classic Western movie. In my book, you're already married. You just haven't had the party yet.
As my maid of honor, will you keep saying things like that now and then over the next few months?
Absolutely.
Now let's go round us up a couple of cowboys.
Shortly, as she drove home with 2 hearty chicken dinners in the back and Callan beside her, Bodine wondered out loud, Have you ever eaten wilted arugula?
Why would I?
Turning, he gave the containers in the back a suspicious study.
That's not in those take-home dinners, is it?
No. It's going to be on Chase's plate tonight at Jessica's.
That man is sick in love, he said with some pity. He doesn't much like unwilted lettuce.
I was thinking the same. She's getting the better end of the deal. As for him eating it, she watches Silverado.
Classic.
And a visual feast for the female eye. We're having us some Cajun chicken, rosemary fingerling potatoes, and asparagus.
You're making me glad I'm not in love with Jessica.
Add on some huckleberry cheesecake.
Maybe we should get married.
Laughing, she turned sparkling eyes at him. Careful, Skinner. Some women grab at straws. How about we watch Silverado? I've got my own DVD.
Got popcorn?
I believe I can come up with that.
I've got the beer.
He reached over, touched her arm.
Alice is sitting out on the front porch.
Even as he spoke, Alice rose, her hands clutched together at her waist. As if she'd been waiting for her cue, Cora stepped out. Odine pulled straight up.
I faced it head on, Alice said. I looked in my head, and I told Pete.
Pete's the artist, the one Bob Tate brought here today. Cora slipped an arm around Alice's shoulders. Alice has been waiting to tell you.
How do you feel about it?
Callan asked her.
I'm glad it's over. It hurt.
She pressed a hand to her belly.
I had to stop and start and stop and start. I'm glad it's over. You have to look at it. We have one, and Bobby said everybody should look at it in case they know, sir. Ma?
I'll go get it.
I like being outside. I like...
Alice stopped, tapped a finger to her lips.
What is it?
Bodine asked.
I keep wanting to say things over and over. I'm trying not to. I like being outside, she said carefully. Maybe because I had to be inside for so long. Coming out whenever I want makes me feel good.
Now, she pressed her lips tight as Cora came out with the sketch.
This is Sir. It doesn't look exactly right, but I can't explain better. His hair got gray like mine did, and his beard, sometimes he had it, sometimes he didn't, but most times he did, and his face got old like mine. This is how he looks, as best I can explain, now.
Odine studied the sketch. Were his eyes truly crazy? Or did Alice only see them that way? In the sketch, they had a wild, fierce look about them. The hair hung thin, unkempt, straggly. A grizzled beard covered the lower half of a thin, hard face. The mouth made a cruel, compressed line.
"Do you know him?" Alice demanded. "Do you know who he is?" "Bobby says he has a real name. Not Sir, a real one."
I don't think I do. Bodine looked up at Callan.
I don't. But we know what he looks like now. It'll help find him and stop him.
Because he knew he could, he stepped up, hugged her.
You did really good, Alice.
On a sigh, she rested her head on his chest a moment before stepping back.
He's not as tall as you, but taller than Bobby. That's what I told Pete. His arms are strong. He has big hands, harder than Rory's or yours. He has a scar on his palm, this one.
She tapped her left, slashed a line across it.
And one here, like that.
She drew a curve on her left hip.
He's got a mark.
She looked at her mother.
Birthmark. A birthmark. Here.
She touched her right outer thigh.
Like a smear. I said I'd remember when he locked me up. I said I'd remember when I got away. And I did remember. I remembered. Can we go see sundown now? I don't want to think about it anymore.
Sure we can. Did you keep an eye on him for me today?
I went out this morning, and I went out after I helped draw the face. I gave him a carrot, and one for Leo with the pretty blue eyes, too. And I brushed him and sang him a song.
He sure likes when you sing. So do I. Maybe you can sing for us again when we see how he's doing.
He offered Alice his arm, made her grin.
I can see her coming back more and more, Cora told Bodine. And today... I watched her suffer through memories and fears. He looks like a monster. He looks like a monster, and he had my girl all those years.
He'll never have her again. Nana, he'll never touch her again.
I don't believe in vengeance. The war took my husband, the boy I loved, the father of my babies, and I grieved. But I never felt hate in my heart. I feel it now. I feel it every day now. My girl's home and coming back, and under the joy of that, I feel such hate, Bodine. It's black and it's bright, that hate. Nana, I don't think you'd be human if you didn't. I don't know if them finding him and locking him away for the rest of his miserable life will ease that for you. I don't know either. Cora let out a long sigh. I have to remember to look at her, to see her as she is, as she's coming back, and be grateful. But it doesn't stop me from wanting to cut his balls off with a rusty knife and hear him scream. After shaking herself, Cora arched her eyebrows at Bodine. That's not something most people would smile at. Most people aren't me. Oh, well. I'm going to put this ugly thing away. She took back the sketch. Do you want to ask Cal to dinner? Actually, he asked me. I've got a couple of take-home dinners in the truck. We're going to watch a movie in the shack. Now, I've got something to smile about. I'm just going to run up, grab the movie we're watching, and a couple bags of microwave popcorn from the pantry. Don't forget your toothbrush, Cora called out. Honestly, Nana. On a laugh, Bodine looked back. Think who you're talking to. I've had a spare over there for weeks. While Bodine ran upstairs, Callan checked Sundown's wound. Alice stroked the horse and sang Jolene.
You sure can sing, Callan said when she finished.
I sang with Rini, and I sang to my Rory, and I sang to myself. I couldn't have a radio or records or a TV. Rini's Rory gave me a... It's little and has songs on it, and you can put things in your ears and listen.
An iPod?
Yes. It's the nicest present. Rory is so good. He's such a good boy. The iPod is like magic. It has lots and lots of music, and I can listen to it when I can't sleep.
Are you having trouble sleeping, Miss Alice?
Only sometimes now, not so much as before. And the music takes away the bad dreams. Even in the bad dreams, I can't see him like he was when I got in the truck. I can't see him clear that way anymore. Was the truck blue? Or was it red? I shouldn't have gotten in. I saw the snakes.
In the truck? He had snakes in the truck?
Not real ones. The picture, the sticker thing. He's a sovereign citizen, a true patriot, and true patriots will rise up and overthrow the corrupt Federalists. They'll take our country back.
Did you tell the sheriff about the sticker?
Did I? I think. Maybe. True patriots will revolt because the Tree of Liberty needs to be watered with blood to bring the country back to the people, under God. A man needs sons to protect the land. I only gave him one that lived. One's not enough to fight and work and protect. I think he had more.
More sons?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. More wives. Do you think I can sit on Sundown soon?
We'll ask Doc Bickers. Miss Alice, can you tell me why you think he had more wives?
He prepared to back off. He could see the jerky way her hands moved, hear the anxiety in her voice. But she pressed her face to Sundown's. He said I didn't hear anything but the wind. I didn't hear calling, or crying, or yelling. I imagined it, and shut up about it.
It's okay.
Sundown's almost better. You're almost better, too. You didn't limp today. Some things get better.
You're a lot better yourself, Miss Alice.
I'm better. Things are better. I can go outside whenever I want to. Ma's teaching me how to crochet a sweater now. I heard his truck that night. I heard it. I wasn't sleeping. He took the baby away. He took my next baby away, and the next. He took poor little Benjamin, who went to heaven, away. And I wasn't sleeping because I hurt inside and outside and in my head and in my heart. Desperately sorry. Callan brushed a hand over her hand, laid it on her shoulder. She reached up, gripped it hard. I heard the truck come back, and I was afraid. So afraid he'd come in and take his marital rights. And I heard the scream. It wasn't the wind. It wasn't an owl or a coyote. It wasn't the first time. But I heard it so clear that time. Once. Twice. I did. And I heard him, too. Shouting. Cursing. And he didn't come for his marital rights. That night. Or the next. Or the next.
Were you in the house? Or the cellar?
The house. It was night. It was dark out my window. And once after, not the next or the next, but after, in the day, in the light, I heard calling. Help! 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 I think. I couldn't hear it very well, but I heard. Then I didn't hear it anymore. But the crying, once. I heard crying sometimes when I worked in the garden. Maybe it was the babies crying for me. I had to stop hearing the crying because I couldn't get to the babies. It's how I went crazy, I guess.
You're not crazy.
She stepped back, smiled. A little bit. I think I was more crazy then. I had to be, or I'd have killed myself. He went with his heart, with his gut, and framed her face with his hands, kissed her softly on the mouth.
You may be a little bit crazy, but you're still the sanest person I know.
Her eyes teared up even as she laughed.
You must know a lot of crazy people.
Maybe I do.
When she left him, singing to herself, he pulled out his phone to call the sheriff. There might be more women locked up in some cellar, being driven mad.
Chapter 27. It took the best part of a week, with a delay of a solid day of soaking rain, but on a soft April evening, Callan saddled Sundown for what he billed as the big reveal.
Maybe everybody shouldn't watch yet.
He turned, studied Alice in her new boots and buff-colored hat, her jeans and bright pink shirt. She'd added a brown leather vest he suspected was Bodine's.
You sure look a picture.
She ducked her head, but he caught the smile.
I'm going to be right with you, he reminded her. But if you want to wait...
No. It's silly. I make myself silly. But you'll be with me.
Every step. You ready?
She gave a nod, put her foot in his hands for the boost. When she settled in the saddle, she let out a long, happy sigh.
It feels so good, like it did the first time. Not the first time ever, but since you helped me sit on Sundown.
Do you want the reins?
Not yet. Not yet. Most everybody's seen me sit on him now, and you walk me on him. You can just walk me on him, okay?
He led her at a slow clip-clop toward the doors of the stables.
I used to ride so fast, so far.
You will again, when you want.
He led her out after a long workday where the big reveal included steaks on the grill, cornbread and beer, and a family who'd come together for something as simple and as monumental as a middle-aged woman sitting on the back of a horse. Most of the ranch hands had gathered as well and broke into applause. Chase held the paddock gate open, closed it again behind them. Callan led them around in a full circle.
"We can just walk like this," he said to Alice. "You tell me if you're ready or you're not. It's all up to you."
"I'm not used to everybody looking at me," she confided. "My chest hurts some."
"That could be you feeling the pride in mine."
"You say nice things. I feel good when you talk to me. My Benjamin went to heaven, but maybe if he didn't, he'd be like you."
The onlookers sat on the fence, or stood with a boot perched on a rung. She knew the faces, knew the names, but still, they all watched her.
"They're proud of you, too."
"Proud of me,"
she murmured that as well, as if letting it slide into her mind.
"And happy to see Sundown's well again."
"That's right. You helped him get better."
"I helped. I can do it. I can do it, but you'll stay with me?"
"You know I will."
He handed her the reins.
"You go on and take a ride, Miss Alice."
She felt the leather in her hands. Old memories and new ones. The feel of a good horse under her, the frisky spring breeze over her face. Sundown stood absolutely still until she nudged him into a walk. Callan stayed close, but she rode. And it made her proud. It made her remember being young and safe and free. It brought that bubbling up inside her she knew now was happiness. She looked down at Callan.
"Can I?"
"Just let him know."
When she moved into a trot, all on her own, she heard the clapping, even some cheers, but she paid little attention to that. She was free.
"You didn't say anything about her learning to trot," Bodine said.
Callan just shrugged, stood by the fence.
"You don't have to know everything."
When she stopped, face flushed, in front of the fence, she looked for Callan's nod. She took off her hat, held it high over her head, as Sundown bowed. When Callan helped her dismount, she threw her arms around Sundown's neck, then around Callan's waist.
"Can I ride again tomorrow?"
"You can ride any and every day you want."
"Alice, I took a video."
Rory held up his phone.
"A movie of you riding."
"A movie? I want to see."
When she rushed over to Rory, Callan turned to Bodine and her mother.
"I'd like to take her on an easy trail ride. When she's ready. I think Rosie would be a good ride for her. She's gentle and bright."
"I don't know if she'd ride away from the ranch," Maureen began. "She would with Callan," Bodine put in. "Or Rory. Maybe with me. And Rosie's a good choice when she's ready to get up on a horse that's not Sundown."
"I'd want to talk to Celia first, and Ma."
"Renee, come see! I'm a movie star!"
"She's just being careful." Bodine swung over the fence. At this point, Nana would let Alice ride to the moon and back if it put that happy look on her face. Mom's trying to balance that out.
"It's no problem. You might want to talk to the doctor about having her work with the horses here, then over at the BAC.
"The BAC?
"An hour here and there with me. I read up on some therapies, and a lot use animals. It's horses for Alice, though she likes the dogs, too. She grooms Sundown as if he's going to a beauty pageant. She could handle more of that."
"Maybe." Her mind hadn't gone there, but now that it had, she saw the benefits. Maybe it would do her good to do some work, outside, in the stables. She's been helping Clem in the kitchen. "You've got a brain, Skinner." She gave him a friendly poke in the ribs.
Sometimes I even use it.
The workmate